Ted sent a press release out yesterday from Wire Points about school pension funding. Before we get to that, Ted, I'd like to ask you about your numbers and methodology and the source information you used to derive the numbers that you and I are talking about today. Where'd you get those numbers, and how'd you come to these conclusions, scientifically speaking?
Sure thing. Yeah, so we go straight to all the government data sources. You know, none of this is our numbers. It's all provided by the government. And the government pays out nearly $1 billion in pension payments on behalf of school districts. And so we divvied that up based on by district across the state, by how much each district has in pensionable salaries. So we just proportionally gave the amount of the pension payment the state makes to each district, right, using their own numbers.
All right, now,
based on the number of students per district, so we can have it on a per student basis, so we can compare them across the state.
There were some items in the press release which really grabbed my attention, which is why I did bother your wife yesterday. The wealthiest school districts in the state benefit more from the state's payment of teacher pension costs than poor districts. That's in the first line. And what's interesting is you read into this, and they say that since nearly 50% of the state's total budget appropriations to education have gone to teacher pensions in recent years. When you see 50% of the state's total budget go to education, but a large portion of that doesn't go to the classroom, it goes to the pensions.
Yeah, so, you know, for until the recent big increase by Rauner and team on education spending, we always had 50% of money appropriated by the state, right? Not the local money, but the state money, going to pensions. And, you know, my whole story was triggered because the superintendent where I live in the New Trier, just outside of Chicago in the suburbs, and the one of the superintendents at the feeder district announced his retirement. We calculated his retirement, and it's going to be about $6.6 million over the course of his retirement. And we said, who's paying for that? And you know, what you find is that the state is paying for that retirement, not the local district, but the state. And so that means taxpayers across the state, whether you're in Effingham, Carbondale, Rockford, you're paying for that $6.6 million pension. Well, I can guarantee you this. There's nobody down there in Carbondale getting a $6.6 million pension. So it just begs the question, how the heck did we end up with a system where state tax dollars are going to pay for $6.6 million pensions? And that means state taxpayers across the state are paying for those.
Right.
It's just upside down.
Okay, now each student that goes to a school, there's a subsidy. They say, oh, you've got X number of students, and for X student, you get X number of dollars, all right? For instance, $25,000 per student in the district that you just referenced, New Trier. And so that subsidy, they get a subsidy for the school pension of $1,000 out of that $25,000. But if you're downstate, or is that not correct?
Well, it's $1,000 in addition to, because it's not part of the $25,000.
It's 25, right. So it's 26, and then $1,000 comes in for that student to be put in the pensions, and then $25,000 for the student. But if you go to Crab Orchard, where they spend $8,000 or a little less per student, that means they get only $300 in per student state pension support. And Crab Orchard's just one school at the bottom. Matter of fact, when you look at your list, you supplied the five districts with the lowest per student pension subsidy. You want to share that with us, Ted?
Yeah, so you've got Carterville and Williamson. You've got Central City and Marion, Crab Orchard and Williamson, Bradford and Stark, and Earlville and LaSalle.
Two of those in Williamson County alone, Carterville and Crab Orchard. And this figures out at the pension subsidy per student is $303 in Carterville and Crab Orchard, $291. But you can go, as we use New Trier, that's one of the, is that the highest one? Apparently it is. New Trier.
Rondout's the highest.
Who is?
They spend about $30,000 a year on a student, and they get the biggest state pension subsidy.
So
it's upside down, right? It's backwards.
All right, but I think one of the points is the unsustainability of this, isn't it?
Well, that's one of the points, but, you know, we've got, everybody's looking for education money, right? They all want to spend more money per kid across the state. And when you've got places, you know, where you're spending $6,000 and $7,000 and $8,000, you would think that that's where the state money would go first, right? Not to the richest districts. And the reason this happens is because there's a game in how that money's doled out. And we're trying to call it out. And that's that, you know, we've got a system that rewards places like New Trier, which have lots of school districts, lots of superintendents, many more teachers per student, and a much bigger infrastructure, it rewards them for having the biggest, most expensive infrastructure on spending. They get more money for it, and that's just upside down. If we're going to have state money go somewhere, it needs to go to the poorest districts that need the most help.
But, you know, they're talking now in Springfield about shifting the cost of those pensions to the local level, to the local school districts. And when that was proposed in the, it would have been state of the budget address by the governor, it sent a shudder through downstate county commissioners and school boards.
Well, so here's what's back, you know, totally backwards about all this. Right now, because those pension payments are so high to places like New Trier and everywhere else, it's pushing taxes, property taxes, and income taxes to go up. So we're already experiencing that just to fund all those pensions in the North Shore. So what we need to do is stop the games that are being played and have New Trier pay for their own pensions if they want. You know, have Central City or you know, Bradford or Crab Orchard pay for their own pensions, and we'll have a much more accountable system. So if New Trier wants to pay $6.6 million pension to its superintendent, let them, but make them pay for it. And that way, you know, places like Marion aren't funding the pensions of a New Trier. But we've got such a corrupt system that that's what's already pushing up property tax. It's already pushing up income taxes. We have to unwind these corrupt systems where one unit of government hands out salaries, like New Trier. They hand out really high salaries, and then the rest of the state pays for the pension costs, right? That's how we get corrupt. One unit of government hands out a goodie, the other one pays for it. Nobody really knows what's going on.
And the way out here is push it to the local level?
Yeah, push it to the local level, and we'll get it back to normal, because then, you know, then you have whoever's wanting to incur big cost pays for it. We shouldn't punish all the downstate districts for what New Trier wants to do.
Ted Dabrowski, he's with the, I almost said the Illinois Policy Institute. He's with WirePoints. And Ted, a researcher with WirePoints, you know, this is going to be one of the subjects. You talked about unwinding it, carpal tunnel syndrome from trying to unwind it. There's a lack of willingness, but, you know, still downstate, Ted, I got to tell you, when I talked to some of the school boards and school and county commissioners, this idea of this pension coming to the local level at our current property rates, it scares the hell out of them, and it scares the hell out of the property owner.
Well, you know, and I understand why, because, you know, the unions and even Representative McSweeney, who's a Republican, have joined together. They want to keep the current system in place. What they're not telling you is part of the reason your taxes have gone so high is because of the current scheme, right? So when you can't tell what's going on, everybody's just kind of frozen here, right? Because taxes have gone so high, and we don't want to see it more. But the fact of the matter is that the current scheme is what's driving property taxes so high. So it's kind of like fixing it once. That's one. Number two, just because we put the pension costs back to the districts doesn't mean it has to be a tax hike. We're proposing that a bunch of other reforms come with it. So not only that there's no tax hike, we need tax relief. And we think Representative McSweeney and others should support the suite of reforms that bring property taxes down. And that's what we need to do. A cost shift is one of those. Eliminate the corrupt practices and then pass the other reforms that lower property taxes. That's what we need.